17. Everybody's on a roll today. When is lunch on order? Joe, how you doing?
Fine, sir. How are you this morning?
Are you good?
Odd to actually be here in the morning. So a few more details on this one I need to go through for this request. Over the last several months, since September of last year, Thin Fish Management Advisory Committee has been looking into a request involving Spiny Dogfish Limited Entry Permit. You may remember late last year we had a request from a harvester about wanting to see the hardship transfer provisions that currently exist changed to just be an open transfer, no limits. And FinFish started looking into the matter again on spiny dogfish permits, how they are allocated in the past, how many there are now, and is there a way to cut down that number? Because we had a bit of latent effort still in that fishery, a little bit of overcapitalization in a sense. So they've been going through it. So just a reminder to Commission where we've been, this has been a very hot topic for a number of years since this permit was created by industry's request back in 2009. We originally had 102 permittees that came into this fishery back in 2009. And at that time, through industry request, we made some tweaks over a few months. We ended transfers, but then put in a provision for hardships based on medical, military leave, or death of a member. We prohibited agents in this fishery. We also, during this time period since 2009, have gone from a regional quota system to a state-by-state quota system, so we now have our own quota allocation, which is equal to about 10.8% of the overall coast-wide quota. So we've had a lot of little things happen in the last 3 to 4 years in this fishery. Back in June of 2011, we actually established a management control date, because even then we were having talk about, well, we have now 100-some permittees in the fishery, but really, there's a lot of suggestions, even from the commission, that it should have only really been 40 or 50 permits in this fishery. So at the same time in 2011, though, the commission did make an adjustment to the qualification criteria based on some reporting of unknown dogfish that were determined that they really were spiny dogfish when reported because of the time of year, and that allowed an additional 6 individuals into the fishery. That got us up to 107. That's a little short background on where we've been. Currently, we do have 107 permits. We have a season for the commercial fishery that runs from May 1st to April 30th every year. We have a current quota of 3.7 million pounds that will be going up next year to 4.4 million, or I should say be going up next season, which begins May 1st. Currently, it's unlawful for any person to take or possess aboard any vessel more than 3,000 pounds of dogfish. Dogfish can only be sold to federal dealers. This is very unique. It's no retail, no out-of-state sales for spiny dogfish. It has to go to a federal dealer. That makes keeping up with the reporting a lot easier for staff. No agents. Our buyers report weekly, which helps us do our quota tracking. And transfers, as I mentioned, are hardship only. Now, FinFish has been meeting on this issue last couple of months. Last night, they looked at 3 options based on their want of data on how to start bringing the 107 down. And the 3 options they looked at included looking at just the initial 2 seasons of this fishery where there was no activity, where there was 28 individuals who didn't do anything with their permits those 2 years, an additional 16 who did not have a cumulative amount of 10,000 pounds of harvest over those 2 seasons as well. That does use an existing control date, which is in place in the regulation of April 30th, 2011. It would decrease the permits by 44, leaving 63 from the 107. They also looked at 22 that had no activity for 4 seasons. It didn't worry about the control date, just said look at the last 4 seasons, which would have ended the last season, ended on April 30th of 2012. And we had 22 for the 4 season had no activity, plus an 11 additional individuals who didn't have activity since the 9-10 season. They only had it one time, then they haven't been active since, for three whole seasons. That took the permits down by 33, resulting in a final number of 74. And they also just looked at just the 28 with no activity the first two seasons only, which would only bring the permits down to 79. After a good debate and discussion with FMAC last night, what they came up with was the recommendation, the middle recommendation pretty much, of going with the decrease based on the last four completed seasons, which would take out the 22 who have had no activity during those whole four seasons, and also 11 who only are active the very first season and haven't been active since. So that would leave us with a remaining permit count of 74 if adopted. The industry still, though, recognizes this isn't enough. They still want to get these permits down to approximately 40 or somewhere in that general frame before we start going toward having these non-hardship transfers, transfers without these exception provisions. So this is a first step, and they recognized it last night as just the first step. And there will be more work to be done on this over the next year and hopefully before the May 1, 2014 start of that season, we'll have further recommendations for the commission. An additional request of FMAC last night was to raise the daily vessel trip limit from 3,000 pounds to 3,300 pounds. This centered around discussion where, for at least one of the dealers, many of the dogfish are brought in by barrels. And they said just basically 15 barrels is generally 3,000 pounds, give or take, could be a little bit more, a little less. And they had concerns that if they bring in their 15 barrels, they may be over to 3,000 and thus in violation of the trip limit. Currently, we can have up to a 4,000-pound trip limit. Both the National Marine Fisheries Service and Federal Waters and ASMSC for Interstate Waters allows up to 4,000 pounds on their trip limit. Most don't go there because this is a market-driven fishery. So there's no need to have a lot of product coming over the dock every day. You can keep it somewhat limited. So after some discussion with the committee last night about tolerance rates and enforcement, we settled with them on just raising the trip limit up to 3,300 pounds. That way, we're not dealing with 10% tolerances. It's a lot simpler for enforcement. They weigh out. It's under 3,300. They're fine. If they're over 3,300, they're in violation. It's a very simple process. So these are the two recommendations for FMAC for the commission today for an advertisement for an April public hearing. And this would get these measures in place before a May 1st season start for the next season.
Joe, I know industry has expressed some concern over the last year that when they buy 3,000 pounds of fish off the boat and it goes into the container and gets shipped north for processing,
right,
by the time it gets up there, it weighs considerably less than 3,000 pounds.
Sure.
And there's been a lot of ill feelings between the processors and the buyers because of that poundage difference. This moving to the 3,300 pounds helps address that, right? Did that come up at all last night?
In a limited fashion, but we've discussed this with other states and how they handle that issue, and their answer back to us was it's not an issue. When that fish hits the dock, that's the weight.
Right.
If it dries out and ends up at the dealer, that's after the fact. It's the wet weight that comes across the dock is the issue, and that's the weight that everyone else is reporting. They're not making adjustments after the fact. So we did check with other states to see how they're dealing with the very same issue, and they said it's the wet weight. So on this, at least when he brings it in, let's say one of the dealers says, we only want you to bring 15 barrels. And he brings it in, it's under 3,300 pounds, and he weighs it out, and it's fine. He ships it up, and it's 3,000. Between him and the harvester, what he's paying the harvester for. If he's paying him for 3,300 or for 3,000 on dry weight, that's between the dealer and the harvester. We're going to stay out of that fight if we can.
Any questions for Joe? Mr. Robbins?
Well, a couple of comments, Mr. Chairman. This issue of the weights is actually a big deal here in Virginia because it has been made an issue at the enforcement level, and frankly, the industry practice since this fishery started has been to overpack the fish. Dogfish do lose a lot of weight in the handling process, And just going back to when the fishery was developed here in Virginia in the early 1990s, the fish were overpacked by about 7 or 8 or more percent. And that's a practice that's been in place coastwide, despite the answer you may get from another state agency elsewhere on the coast. That's still common practice, and that percentage may vary. It may be 4% in some places, 5% in others, but the fish have always been packed heavy, and a lot of the fish have been packed and bought volumetrically. So they've been bought in barrels or simply vatted up, where the vat was crowned and there was ice layered in the vat, and it was called a 2,000-pound vat. That's just part of the commercial practice that's been in place for a long time. Problem is, we went to a quota-based management of the fishery, and that included trip limits, and that raises enforcement concerns. And I'm sensitive to all that, but just reflecting on that history, I think what we need at the state level is simply an enforcement standard, such that fish that are landed in Accomack County are treated the same way that fish are landed in Virginia Beach from an enforcement perspective. And, you know, I think we have flexibility to deal with this and still be fair to the boats, because right now you could go up to 4,000 pounds. The market can't handle that right now, but there's at least room to try to work this out. And I think what the committee's come up with is fine, you know, to raise the trip limit to 3,300 pounds so that dealers can continue to overpack the fish. But I think we need an enforcement standard relative to how that's going to be done, so that fishermen and dealers throughout the state are treated in the same way or can offload fish in the same way and still come through the process adequately. The other aspect, though, of this, I think, is more problematic, and that is that I think from the beginning of this, the committee has really wrestled with this issue of oversubscription in this fishery. When we had a 60-plus million-pound-a-year fishery in the mid-1990s, this fishery was only supporting about 25 boats in a directed fishery. Because we didn't permit vessels, but rather permitted individuals and helpers and a litany of people, we ended up with over 100 permits in a fishery that supported 25 boats. Most federal permits are almost always issued to the vessel, not the individual. We did it the other way around and included helpers, and so I think we ended up ever since then we've been in a difficult situation to try to work out the management of this fishery. But if the industry's goal is to reduce the permits to 40, I would suggest that the committee continue to work on that, because if we come out now and say we're going to modify the permit system so that there's 74 permits, but then you're going to move in the future to 40, it seems to me that you're setting yourself up for some serious dissatisfaction with the portion of the industry that's going to get a permit now, may make investments based on that having that permit, and then ultimately lose the permit. I mean, it seems to me that if we're going to try to move forward to change the way that these permits are done, there ought to be outcomes and objectives that are identified at the committee level. For example, if they want the fishery to last for 2 months or 3 months in the winter and provide some steady income for the boats that are in it, then the number of permits ought to reflect that. Because if we go to 75 permits and if we allow transfers ultimately, then potentially all of those are going to be active and they'll catch the quota within 15 days. The quota is going up right now, but there's a hole in the population, so that quota may come down in a few years. I mean, whatever outcome we have from a permitting standpoint, I think ought to support longer-term goals than what's being discussed, or than what we might face if we come out of this and have 75 permits that are going to catch the quota in 15 days. You know, I think there needs to be more discussion at the committee level about what those objectives are, what they want the fishery to look like, and or consider a broader range of alternatives. I mean, we have one of these alternatives is for a one-pound qualifier. You know, I think that inevitably is going to oversubscribe the outcome. So, I would submit that there's significant benefit in having the engaging the committee to address that longer-term objective if we're going to actually change the number of permits.
And again, as I said before, they are looking at doing that. And this is also...
Go ahead.
Also, just to point out something, you do bring up a good point. Let's say there are 75 individuals and they all harvest and bring the thing. But this is a unique fishery, and it is dealer-driven, market-driven. We currently have a 3.7 million pound quota. We're not going to attain that this year because the market has all but shut down this fishery because there is no market. Now, 2 years ago when we finished up, we had a fishery that closed on December 7th of 2011. We had a 2.7 million pound quota. We finished that fishery off in about 6 weeks from start to finish, and it's all market driven. So the market does also take care of itself in that, and it would prevent a situation where 75 individuals, if they all were active, to just go out here and, you know, take up the quota quickly unless there's a price for it. I mean, the market takes care of this fishery very well. It's a very unique fishery for us.
Mr. Chairman, if I can follow up, I think those market conditions, though, will likely change over time. The fishery just got an MSC certification. It has suffered from market-based campaigns in Europe that have truncated the market, but that over time will probably change because of the MSC certification that the fishery has won. So if that capacity comes back online in the market, we're going to be back in the same situation of potentially having a very short fishery. I'm just concerned about saying that we're going to change the permit structure, issue 74 permits, but our real goal is to get to 40.
I want to follow up on what Rick has said, because are we suggesting with this change actually allowing non-hardship based transfers?
No, we had that discussion last night with
them. But see, it seems like you're using that to try to draw the industry in some agreement to reduce the number of permits, but we're only reducing to 74 and we're not making that change. I mean, that's what I mean.
I could provide some background if I could as well.
Sure.
The background is that we are working with the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee as a whole. The 101 permits that we started out with were from an industry-based approach, an ad hoc committee composed of those who had keen familiarity with the fishery, with the industry. And what happened was that those committee members were reluctant to leave ones that they knew that had participated in time X away from the process. And that's why it ballooned to helpers. It became a very overcapitalized situation. So the Fin Fish Management Advisory Committee is now functioning as a whole more so than before and wanted to take at least this first step. May 1 is soon to arrive. That will start the next quota season, and certainly there wasn't going to be enough, even with back-to-back meetings in 2 months, there was not going to be enough time to get to the situation that Mr. Robbins is pointing out. However, FMAC is committed doing that, and I think that probably reducing the permits does help the industry understand what will eventually come will be a further reduction in permits, and the only way that staff knows at this time to do that is, and it was mentioned last night, some time of threshold harvest level. So here in the options that you have up on the board, the one on the top is based on having been active, harvested essentially in 2009-2010. Staff intends to come back to FMAC in advance, well in advance of the next season, which will start May 1, 2014, and have those types of options and others for them to look at to arrive at this roughly 40 boats that we're all using kind of loosely for where we'd like to end up. And then the transfers are possible. Once you get to that situation, you can start looking at transfers. So it's the intention of staff and FMAC is the same as the commission right now. It's just that it's going to be stepwise. Would you say
the industry is aware of the ultimate goal to get to approximately 40 permits in this fishery?
Anyone involved in the industry that has participated at any level through the last several years, from the ad hoc committee all the way to FMAC, is very aware that 40 is the objective.
So they should understand if they've been inactive and they decide to become active this year, that doesn't secure them a position in the fishery in the future.
April 30th, 2011 is the control date, which is a, you know, a tool to use with other options as well. So, but, you know, in all, staff was very pleased with the way FMAC has progressed on this issue, which initially what you would hear at FMAC and what you would hear at FMAC generally is on FMAC you have recreational, you have commercial, and sometimes you have other, say, conservation group representation. And so a lot of times these issues on a commercial spiny dogfish issue rest solely with the commercial group, and the others are sitting back. Well, I think we've overcome that a little bit, and I think that's a good step forward. And we'll move towards where I think the commission would like this to be as well, in a position there can be transferred permits.
Mr. Palmer, you had a question?
Well, I think I'd rather offer them the change to increase the trip limits at the same time that I was going to consider the change in the hardship transfer and do the reduction down to the targeted number at the same time, as opposed to, you know, essentially just taking people out that haven't participated anyway, reducing the number to 75 and increasing the trip limit at the same time for them, when you can offer them both at a later time if you're trying to get down to the 40 number. I mean, I thought that's what Rick was suggesting with his comments, and that's what I would prefer. But
Mr. Robbins?
Well, just in terms of the timing of things, you have a May 1 season start, but is there an opportunity for the for FMAC to reconvene and try to hammer out that longer term outcome on the permits as we go forward into the next couple of months, so that it's resolved and we're not putting, you know, those 35 people in limbo or creating a situation where they have an expectation that they're going to be able to stay in the fishery. I mean, I think if we do this on an interim basis, somehow we have to notify the permit holders that, you know, the committee's intent has been to get to a lower number of permits.
I think we can do that. As I mentioned, we'll do this well before the next season, whether it can happen in mid-season, you know, by December or something like that. You know, that's always a possibility. It sounds straightforward, Mr. Plumlee, to have everything done in one box. It's incredibly difficult to do that. We certainly have tried over the course of several meetings to get to that situation. If the commission, and I'm not recommending this, or staff's not recommending this, if the commission were to say to staff, we want you to come back with four options and, you know, we'll help you choose which is the best option to accomplish exactly what you're talking about, that has been done in the past. But we think that this is really something that we do want to at least involve the committee, Fin Fish Management Committee, and we do want to end up with the result everyone else wants.
Any other questions, comments? What's the pleasure of the commission on this?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir. Mr. Robbins?
I think if we're going to accept the committee's recommendations, then the commission somehow has to notify all the permit holders that the commission is still working towards the reduction of the total number of permits, so that there's not an unrealistic expectation that's held by those permit holders going forward. Because, you know, we've been through this with blue crabs. We've been through some very difficult licensing discussions. I have concerns about that liability essentially with the public, but I would suggest, based on the discussion that staff has offered, that we do go ahead and hold the public hearing, but that we continue to engage the committee in achieving the long-term objective and have that recommendation prior to the beginning of the 2014 fishing year. Furthermore, that the committee be engaged in developing an enforcement standard, or at least offering recommendations for an enforcement standard for this fishery, so that we can ensure that fishermen throughout the state are treated in a similar fashion. I would offer that as a motion, Mr. Chairman.
Second to the motion.
I'll second it. I'd like to add that I think I think it's important to hold the hearing to get more information. As a body, we can always hear more. It doesn't mean we have to decide one way or the other just because we're going to hold a hearing. But I would like more information presented at that hearing about what the industry's thoughts are about this targeted number and how we're attempting to get there, because it may be that there's something else out there that's a better solution.
Okay. I think that could be done with the FMAC meeting sometime in April before the public hearing's held. I would suggest, too, that we might want to send a letter to all of the permittees currently in the fishery as to not only the public hearing that will be coming up, but this long-term goal of somewhere in the range of 40 permits in the fishery, just to give everyone a fair warning as to where this thing is headed. Any further comments on the motion? Seeing none, any objection to the motion? All right, the hearing is approved.
Thank you.
That was item 17.